Shmuel Beis, Perek Hey. This morning's shiur is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Sheina Necha Bas Rav Zev Dov. We learned last week the end of Shaul's monarchy. Ishbosheth was killed, and David had the assassins murdered. Now, Vayavo kol shivta Yisrael el David, Chevrona. All of the shvatim gathered to David in Chevron. David didn't have to go searching after the monarchy. He didn't have to work on getting Shaul's Malchus back under his control. They came to him. And they came to him, Vayomru Lamor. And they said, saying, in other words, it was a very clear statement of their intent, that Hinenu Atzmacho V'sorcha Anochnu, they're going to announce that they want to make him the king. And they say, Hinenu, we're prepared, here we are, Atzmacho, we're like your bones, U'V'sorcha, and your flesh, Anochnu. We feel like we're one together with David. First of all, as we go through these psukim, and we'll point it out in a number of the places, at this point already, there is in Divrei Hayomim, in Chronicles, it also tells over the story about how David became the king. And there are variances between what it says here and what it says in Divrei Hayomim. And the Mefarshim points out that the stress in Divrei Hayomim is to point out the greatness of Malchus Beis David, of the house, the monarchy of David HaMelech. Over here, we're learning more David as a person and the lessons that we can glean from his personal life without focusing necessarily on the greatness of Malchus Beis David. In Divrei Hayomim, it discusses exactly each shevet, how many people came, which ones came with their weapons, and there were hundreds of thousands that gathered to make David their king. So here we don't stress that, but in Divrei Hayomim that is played up. And first they say to David, we are Atzmacho V'sorcha, we're like your bone, you're our flesh, you're one of us. They realize that David went ahead and he killed the assassins of Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth was the king for Shevet Binyamin and for the rest of Klal Yisrael. That was the opposition. And the fact that David dealt so harshly with those who killed Ishbosheth, and they know also that those who killed Avner, who was Shaul's general, were also punished, they saw that David really felt that he was part of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't, it wasn't partisan politics. It wasn't like David felt he was just from Shevet Yehuda. But Atzmacho V'sorcha Anochnu, we're one group. We're one cohesive group, and therefore they want to make David the king. Also, David always had, and we'll see it comes up, it surfaces again later on, David always had those people who questioned his whole lineage. Whether David was even able to marry a Bas Yisrael, was able to marry a regular Jewish woman, because he descended from Ruth, who came from Moab, and we know that Lo Yovo Amoni Moavi V'Kal Hashem, that Amon and Moab can't come into Klal Yisrael. And since David descended from Moab, there were all those who questioned whether David could even really be part of the Jewish people. And the halacha is, Moavi v'lo Moavi, so if it's from a Moabite woman, that is permitted to Klal Yisrael. What they were saying to David was, Hinenu atzmcho v'sorcha anochnu, we're one. And I was, of course, we're like brothers. We're one bone, we're one flesh. And of course, David is just like them, and therefore he's fit to serve as the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Gam Esmal, Gam Shilshom, yesterday, the day before that, Biyosho Melech Aleinu, when Shaul was the king over us. Ato Hayisa Hamotzi V'Hamevi Es Yisrael. You're the one who used to take the army out and bring the troops in. David was the one who was the general, while Shaul was the king. But it's not like we're strangers or we're opposing each other and we're with the enemy camp. we're used to having you as a leader. Vayomer Hashem lechon, Hashem said to you, Atasiras Ami Es Yisrael, you should be the one who takes care of my people. Kal Yisrael. Va'atatiel and Nogid al Yisrael, and you should be the ruler over Kal Yisrael. In Divrei Hayomim, it doesn't say, it says, Bihiyo Shol Melech. It says, when Shol was the king, you were the ones who led the army. It doesn't say the word Oleinu, because it's a slight to the kingdom of David to say that Shol was the king Oleinu on us. That word is not mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. In Divrei Hayomim it says, Hayisa Hamotzi VeHamevi. If you look in our Novi, for the word Hamotzi, the Hay is written with the previous word, and Hamevi is missing an Aleph, as if to say, you led the troops, you took everyone out, you brought everyone back in, but it wasn't, you weren't the complete leader. Because after all, they were speaking to David, and they were from Shevet Binyamin, they were used to having Shaul and Ish-Boshes as the king, and even though now they were accepting David, but they didn't view it as if David was the one who brought them out by himself and they brought them in, but he was always working under Shaul. But in Divrei Hayomim, when it talks about the greatness of Malchus Beis David, it's written the regular way, that David was the one who took the troops out and in. In Divrei Hayomim it says, Vayomer Hashem Elokecha Lecha. Hashem, your God, instructed you to be the leader. As if realizing again that David has this special relationship with Hashem, and Hashem chose him, and it's Elokecha. There are three reasons why David possibly would not be fit to be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. One is that he himself might not be fit to be king. As we mentioned, his lineage was possibly tainted. It was a question whether he himself was fit to be the king. The second question is, would the people accept him? And the third thing is, does Hashem want him to be the king? And these two psukim, all of those concerns are addressed. Certainly David is fit to be the king. Atzmacho v'sorcha anochnu. He's our bone and our flesh. He's one of us. Second of all, the people want him. Because even yesterday, the day before, in the previous years when Shaul was the king, David was their leader. He was the one who led them into the thick of battle. And the ones they could count on when their lives were in danger. And as far as Hashem, Vayomer Hashem Lecha, Hashem instructed you. He was anointed by Shmuel, and Hashem wanted him to be the king. So therefore they were telling David he was certainly fit to be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. We'll see shortly, and we've mentioned this earlier, in Shmuel Beis Perek Beis, it mentions that Ish-Boshes was the king over Klal Yisrael for just 2 years. In Pasuk Yud, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud, it says, Ish-Boshes was the king over Klal Yisrael for 2 years. David, in the next Pasuk over there, Pasuk Yud Aleph, David was the king in Hebron for 7.5 years, 7 years and 6 months. So the question is, what happened to those missing 5 years, 5.5 years? In other words, Ish-Boshes was only the king for 2 years. David was the king for 7.5. And the Gemara discusses this in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chof, and it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that after Shaul was killed in battle, there were 5 years that Klal Yisrael didn't have a king. Except David was the king in Hebron, but the rest of Klal Yisrael had no king. And the remarkable thing is that this whole time when there was no leader over all of Klal Yisrael, you just had David over Shevet Yehuda, the enemies didn't attack, and it seemed to be a rather tranquil period after all the battles, but they had no king, and life went on for 5 years. Avner then made Shaul's son Ish-Boshes as the king. And Ish-Boshes was the king for 2 years. And after Ish-Boshes was killed, it took about a half a year till everyone, all these plans were drawn up, and all the Shvatim together sent their thousands of men to Hebron to make David the king over all of Klal Yisrael. According to Tosfos, Ishbosheth was made the king shortly after Shaul was died. After Shaul was killed, Ishbosheth was made king. And after Ishbosheth was killed, that's when he had the 5 years till Klai Shaul decided to choose David. But either way, whether you learn that Ishbosheth was killed and it took 5 years till they came to David, or you learn that for 5 years David was a king in Hebron, and then the rest of Klai Shaul chose Ishbosheth as their leader. Either way, it would be understandable if David felt, you don't really want me to be king. In other words, there's 5 years where you had no leader and they didn't choose David. So David now has to, the people have to reassure David that they really want him as the king and they're going to accept him as their monarch and as their leader and they're going to follow him as the Jewish king has to be followed. We've mentioned, the Pasuk says, Som tosim alecha melech, you have to place a king over you, shetei moscha alecha. You have to have a fear and an awe for the king. A parent, if he wants, can be moichel his honor. A rebbe could be moichel his honor. Even a nasi, the leader of Klai Yisrael, can be moichel his honor. You don't have to stand up for him if he doesn't want. You can be moichel his kavod. But not a king. A king is a different type of awe. The Torah says he has to be placed as your leader and you have to follow what he says, and there's a certain fear that a person is obligated to feel for the king. And now in Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo kol zikna Yisrael el hamelech Hebrona. All of the zakenim, all of the elders, and zakenim is a term used for the chachamim, those who have Torah wisdom, zesha kana chachma. The elders came to the king in Hebron. Vayichros lahem hamelech David bris b'Hebron. And David made a treaty with them in Hebron lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. They made a treaty. First of all, the Shvatim already came to David. In Pasuk Aleph, all of the tribes gathered together. They all sent representatives. They all went to Hebron to choose David as the king. Once the people showed that they really wanted David as the king, now it was up to the Sanhedrin to officially appoint him as the king. He was already anointed by Shmuel. He was anointed, but it needed the Sanhedrin also. So now the Zakenim came to the king in Hebron to make him the king. It could also be that this was part of all the Shvatim came, but the Zakenim had to first work out this agreement. They made a bris, a treaty. In order to have a treaty, you have to have two sides, right? You can't make peace if the other side isn't interested. You need to have two sides. What the Zakenim was saying to David is, we are guaranteeing that we will accept you as the king with all of the halachos that pertain to a king. But David is making a treaty that he's not going to turn around and punish all those that backed Shaul and that backed Ishbosheth and all these years were on the other side. There's a treaty, David is now going to be the king, but everything is going to be worked out peacefully, no one is going to be punished, which of course David didn't want. We've learned that before. David was very upset when Avner or Ishbosheth were killed. So all the Zakenim came by Yichus Lahem HaMelech David, Bris, David made a treaty with them, Bechevron and Chevron Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, really this was not just a physical, they needed a leader, but this was a spiritual undertaking, and it was before God. By Yimshechu as David LeMelech al Yisrael, and they anointed again David, this time not just to be a king over Shevet Yehuda, but again anointed David as a king over all of Klal Yisrael. Ben Shloshim Shana David B'molcho. David was 30 years old when he became king. Some Mephoshim point out, 30 is when a person reaches his peak strength and is, I guess, to be a leader. At the age of 30, he's in the prime of life. Don't worry, I'm also past it. David was 30 when he ruled. Arboim Shana Malach, and he was the king for 40 years. B'chevron Malach al Yehuda, in Chevron he ruled over Yehuda Sheva Shana V'shisha Chadashim for 7 years and 6 months. Over Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim V'shalosh Shana. And Yerushalayim he ruled for 33 years. I'll call Yisrael V'Yehuda over all of Yisrael and Yehuda. And as we pointed out, it doesn't add up. If he was in Hebron for 7.5 years, and in Yerushalayim over all of Klal Yisrael for 33 years, it should leave you with 40 and a half years. But here it only counts Arboim Shana Moloch, he was the king for 40 years. What happened to the other 6 months? So the Radak brings down a number of explanations. One is that Cheshbon HaMerubo Boleas HaMuad, when you're dealing with 40 years, the fact that it was another few months is left off. It's inconsequential in terms of the tremendous amount of 40 years to be the king. Another explanation is that David had fled, we'll learn later on, his son Avshalom took over the kingdom. He announced that he was the king, and David ended up fleeing Yerushalayim. For those 6 months that David had left Yerushalayim, could be he's not counted as a king. He was in Yerushalayim for 33 years, but in the middle there was 6 months where he wasn't the king, and therefore the total was actually 40 years of him serving as the king. In fact, there would have been a difference, the Mefarshim point out, if somebody does an Avera that requires bringing a Korban Chatos. Let's say somebody forgot it was Shabbos, and he did a malacha. He cooked. He did something on Shabbos. He forgot today was Shabbos. So if he's a regular person, he brings a korban chatos from an akeva animal, a kispar, a seira, from a goat or a sheep. A king brings a soyer, the male goat, a he-goat. So it's a different korban. So he has to learn during those 6 months, if he would have made a mistake that required a korban, it would have actually been a different korban. But, in any case, he was in Hebron for 7.5 years, in Yerushalayim for 33 years. And one other pshat is that he was in Yerushalayim really for 32.5 years. But because of the kavod for Yerushalayim, we rounded up that Yerushalayim had a king like David for a full 33 years, even if it was a little bit short. So now David is the king over all of Klal Yisrael. And the question is, what's his first order of business? Vayelech HaMelech V'Anosh of Yerushalayim. David and his men went to Yerushalayim, El HaYevusi Yoshev HaAretz, to the nation Yevusi that lived in the land. And we're going to see David is going to conquer Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is going to become the city of David HaMelech, city of David. The Mefarshim point out, Binyamin and Yehuda share the border. In fact, the Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbeach, was on Yehuda's territory, and the rest of the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Heichal, the other parts of the Beis Hamikdash were in Binyamin's land. So the Beis Hamikdash was on both. It was cross-spanning the border between Yehuda and Binyamin. David was the king in Hebron, which is over Yehuda, for 7.5 years. Ishbosheth was the king of Binyamin and the rest of Klal Yisrael. So now David, as the king over all of Klal Yisrael, is going to choose for his capital city a place right on the border. He's no longer just Hebron, just Yehuda. On the other hand, he's not going just to the other side, he's combining them. It's going to be a monarchy over everything. So he goes right in the middle. Besides, the Mefarshim point out that David had been instructed by Shmuel HaNavi, and with Ruach HaKodesh, David realized that Yerushalayim, that's in the physical sense. In the physical sense, Yerushalayim is right between Yehuda and Binyamin. It's the perfect place for the capital. But in a Ruchniyah sense, David also sensed that Yerushalayim had a special Kedusha, a special holiness, and this was the place that should be the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. So Vayelech HaMelech V'Anoshov, the king went with his men, Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim, El HaYevusi Yoshev HaAretz, to the Yevusi that lived in the land. Vayomer LeDavid Lamor. And he said, either it means the Yevusi, the nation, so it's in the singular, it means the nation, or it means some individual called out to David saying, Vayomer LeDavid Lamor, Lo Savo Haina, don't come here. Kim has sircha, unless you remove Ha'ivrim, the blind people, the blind, Vahapischim, and the lame, if somebody can't walk, he's a biseach. Lamor saying lo yovo David heino. David can't come here. First, we'll learn through these two, three psukim the simple explanation. There's a few different ways of understanding it. The city that the Yavusi had, which was in Yerushalayim, was tremendously fortified. It was impossible to conquer, almost. So David went to the Yavusi to conquer the city, and they said, don't even bother trying. Lo savo heino, there's no way you can come into the city unless you remove even the people who are blind in our lane, who obviously don't make too good soldiers. But if you take a blind guy and you put him on the wall, if it's this city, nobody will be able to conquer it. The city is so strong, even these people could defend the city. Even the Ivrim and the Pishtim. Vayoko Dovedes Mitzudas Tzion. David conquered the fortress of Tzion. Could be it was called Tzion later on. Tzion can mean that it stands out. It's a landmark. It's unique. It's special. Sh'or mitzuyonim b'halocha. Tzion means something that's unusual, special. He captured this mitzudas Tzion. He ere David, and that became the city of David. David was the first one. This was his first step as the king. He showed a tremendous kavura, and he captured the fortress. Now, to get the rest of the city, that he left up to Vayomer David. David said Vayomahu on that day, Komake Yavusi. He made an announcement. Whoever is the one who's going to strike the Yavusi, that was the people living in the city. The Yigabit Sinor, and he's going to touch the stronghold of the city. Or besides the fortress, which was on the side, the city was another step of conquest, and there was a strong point. He's got to reach that Sinor, that stronghold. Vesa Pishim Vesa Ivrim. And then he should knock down the Pishim and the Ivrim, or even the people who are lame and blind, or he should kill whoever's in that city. Sinue Nefesh David. Because the people of the Yavusi were despised. They were hated by the soul of David. Because they were the ones who scorned David and said, it's impossible for you to ever conquer the city. Even the Ivrim Alken Yomru. And therefore they said, Ivru Piseach Lo Yovo El Habois. In Yerushalayim, if somebody is blind or lame, he shouldn't come into the house. These houses that were inhabited by the Yavusi, nowadays they shouldn't have people who are lame and blind there. Because just seeing a lame person or a blind person reminds us of the scorn that was heaped on David, that there's no way David would ever be able to capture this city. Chazal learned what we learned about in the Torah. Avimelech made a treaty with Avram Avinu. And he said to him, Im tishkor li ulanini ulanechti, if you deal falsely with me or my son or my grandson, tachesed asher asisi imcha, the chesed that I did with you. And they made a treaty that Avram promised that he wouldn't harm Avimelech or Avimelech's son or his grandson. What they did was, this is hundreds of years later. Just to give an idea on how much time has elapsed, there were 400 years from when Yitzchak was born to Yitzias Mitzrayim. This Yitzchak was already alive when Avram made this treaty, so it's a little less than 400. There were 480 years from Yitzias Mitzrayim until the Beis HaMikdash was built. There were 480 years till Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now this is before the Beis HaMikdash was built. There were 480 years till the Beis HaMikdash was built, but this is less than 480 years. But you're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of years. Even if they had a tremendously long life, Avimelech's son and grandson are long since passed away. But what they did was they set up idols. They put up idols outside the city because the Yavusi descended from the Plishtim. They were related to the Plishtim who came from Avimelech. So they put up these idols. And it could be the idols themselves are called Irim and Pisrim because they don't see. An idol is blind, right? It doesn't see. And I am Lehem Velo Yiru. And the idol can't walk. It's lame. So it's called Pisrim, right? Paglaim Velo Yalechum. They can't walk. So they set up these idols. And in the idols, they had in the mouth, they had written some type of language of the treaty that Avram promised that the Jewish people will leave the city alone. And even though legally it wasn't binding because the time had long elapsed, besides the fact that the Plishtim, as I say, the Yavusis' claim to protection was they were from the Plishtim. And Avram had made a treaty with Avimelech from the Plishtim. Now the Plishtim broke the deal many times. We had a lot of problems with the Plishtim all these years. But whether it's true or not, and it sounds like nowadays, they'll harp on this treaty that's supposedly existing, that David can't come to the city. Vayomer leDavid leimor lo savo heina. You can't come to the city. Kim hesircha ha'ivrim v'hapistim. Unless you remove these idols, the blind and the lame. Leimor, what they were saying is, lo yovo David heina. David can't come here. Now, if he's just going to go and break his way through the city and leave those idols, it makes it look like he doesn't care about this treaty. And even though he'll say the treaty didn't exist, it really didn't, but it wouldn't seem right. It would seem like David doesn't care about the promise that was made. So what David did was he captured the fortress of Zion, as he didn't enter the city from the direction of the idols. He came from the other side, and he captured the Metzudas Tzion, and in that side of Yerushalayim became the Ir David. Then David announced, Komake Yavusi, anybody who strikes this city where the Yavusi were, V'yiga B'tzinor, what he should do is, these are idols, he shouldn't even look at the idols. His approach should be to strike the high place. The idols, I guess, could be were attached to the wall, they were connected. If he hits and he knocks down the stronghold of the city, the idols will be gone. Snuei nefesh David. And these are all hated by David. It's the Yavusi and it's the stronghold and the idols. They're all there to taunt Klal Yisrael that this city will never become the Jewish capital. So if he is able to knock down this stronghold and the idols will go with it, Al-Kain Yomer, because people were saying, Iver Abiseach lo-Yover al-Abois, because of this blind and the lame, it's not possible to come into Yerushalayim. A third explanation, which is very interesting, the Ralbag was, by the way, known as an astronomer. I believe there's even a crater on the moon or something named after him. The Ralbag was a scientist, and he discussed, this is over here, he says he doesn't want to go into the exact details. But Tzinor very often means a pipe that's used for as a water conduit. You can have the gutter by a person's roof, but Tzinor means a pipe that conveys water. Some learn it means that he should strike the Tzinor, meaning he should knock off the city's water supply, and then he'll be able to capture the city. But what he said is, outside the city, they set up some type of mechanical robots. And they were holding sticks. I don't know if the sticks had a point to them or they were sharp or whatever. They were holding sticks. And they had a water supply and the water was flowing and it hit them like a water wheel. And because of the water pressure, the arms of these statues were moving back and forth with big metal poles. And it was impossible to get into the city because you couldn't run the gauntlet. They were just waving these tremendously heavy metal poles. And there were more than one layer of them. In the front you had the Irim, you had blind. In the back you had Pisrim, you had lame. Because usually blind people and lame people need to have a stick. The lame person needs a stick to help them walk. And the blind as a feeler, as a guide. So what they did was, I guess once they're making the robot, the statue, they made it look lifelike, as if it was a blind person or a lame person holding a stick, and they're swinging it, and nobody can get into the city. So nobody was able to get into the city. Vayomer leDavid, leimor lo savohein, unless you remove these Ivrim and Pischim, these mechanical robots, because otherwise you can't get into the city. So what David did was, he attacked the city from the other side, and he captured the Metzudas Tzion, which later became the Ir David. Vayomer David Bayomahu, David said on that day, Kol Makeh Yavusi, whoever strikes the Yavusi, because the lineup was, if you approach the city from one direction, there was a line of these, like blind robots swinging the poles, and in back of it there were the lame, they looked like lame people swinging the poles, and then you had the people, the Yavusi, and there was actually the water supply that was flowing at that point to move these robots, and then you had the fortress on the other side, protecting the city on the other side. So David came from the other side, and he captured the Metzudas Tzion. And then he said, Komaki Yavusi, whoever strikes the people in the middle, the Yigavitsinar, and he knocks off that water supply, Ves HaPischim, and the earlier pasuk it says, Ivrim and then Pischim, because if you came from that direction, the Ivrim, the blind people, were on the outside, and behind them were the Pischim. Now you're coming from the other direction. So first you encounter the Pischim, the lame ones, and then the blind ones. Snui Nefesh David, who David despises, because they said that David would never be able to capture the city. So whoever does that, it's understood, will get a reward. And very often in Tanakh, it's left open-ended, that you can imagine what the reward will be, but it doesn't say it. In Divrei Hayomim, in Chronicles, it does say that he promised whoever captures the rest of the city will become a leader, a tsar, a leading officer, a general for Klal Yisrael. And the one to do it was Yoav ben Tzruya. If you remember, Yoav ben Tzruya was the one who killed Avner. And David was so angry, he felt he couldn't do anything to punish him because the children of Tzruya were just so strong, he felt he needed them and he couldn't punish them, and he left it. It could be Yoav felt that he had to do something to find David's favor, or just in general, he was the one who was able to do it. But Yoav ben Tzruya was the one who succeeded in doing this, and he became the general over the army of all of Klal Yisrael. And now he was David's chief commander. Of course, you don't have to offer a reward, but very often you do find in Nach, they would offer a reward, whoever captures the city, whoever does this thing, will get some type of special bonus, and the right man will step forward. So Yoav ben Tzruya was the one who captured the city. When we mentioned, by the way, the pshat of Chazal, that there were like these statues, these idols, and on it it said the treaty that Avraham made with Avimelech not to capture the city. Chazal learned also, Pischim and Ivrim, the lame and the blind, was referring to the next two generations after Avraham. Now, as Avraham made the treaty with Avimelech, and the deal was he wouldn't start up with Avimelech's son or grandson, the next two generations, so they made a statue of Avraham's son, what they imagined somebody like Yitzchak would look like. And we know Yitzchak was blind at the end of his life. So they made a statue of a blind person. Yaakov fought with the Malach, and Yaakov ended up being Hutzalei al Yerecho. He was lame. So they made a statue as Pischim to show again that this treaty was supposed to go on for the generations after. Of course, it didn't apply anymore, and the city was captured. Vayeshev David Bamitsuda and Pasuk Tes. David settled the Metzuda in the fortress by Yikrala Ir David, and he called it Ir David. By even David Saviv, David built around it Min HaMilo Vavoisa, from the Milo and further in. Milo was, Rashi learns, it was like a landfill. There was a low wall, and the area in between the main wall of the city and the outer wall was filled with dirt, and there was a open area there. From that area in, David built up and he built additional housing, the new housing projects in Yerushalayim, where David started it. And we'll see there was actually a large open area for people to gather. And David HaMelech didn't touch that. He built from the Milo Vavoisa and further in. But a little bit past that, there was still this open area where people could gather. Shlomo HaMelech, later on, we'll see, built it up. And Yerovim ben Nevat came and he argued that Shlomo HaMelech did a terrible thing. He built it up for one of his wives, and he should have left it open for the people. And there was a big complaint that he was making it more claustrophobic. The city needs to have some open area. But here, this was a good thing that David HaMelech did, and he built up the area, min hamilo vavoisa. By the way, there are other chazals that talk about exactly how Yoav captured the city. There's a chazal that they took a tree, a young sapling, and they bent it down, and he tied himself to the tree, and then they released the tree, or he connected the tree with a tremendous force, went upright, and Yoav went flying, so he was able to catapult himself into the city, and when he landed, he was such a gibor, they weren't able to kill him, and they discussed exactly how, because, you know, they were so sure that nobody could conquer the city. Even a lame person or a blind person could capture the city. And David got the first step, he got the fortress, but they discussed exactly how the victory was accomplished. But this was now built up. It's the Ir David. It's that section of Yerushalayim. David, Chazal say, instituted the bracha and benching, the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. That Hashem should rachim, that Hashem should have rachmonis, compassion, a Yisrael amecha, va Yerushalayim irecha, on Klal Yisrael, on Yerushalayim, va Tzion Mishkan kvodecha, and on Tzion. And after Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech added the words, V'alabayis HaGadol V'akadosh Shenikro Shimcha Lo. On the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should also show His Rachmanus. But this bracha was instituted by David HaMelech, special for Klal Yisrael, for Yerushalayim. It's the bracha Bonei Yerushalayim. And later on in Shlomo HaMelech, gave the city Kedusha. The Rambam says Yerushalayim received its Kedusha when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. He sanctified the city and then it got its Kedusha. But the first step was David HaMelech capturing it and building it up and making it the city, the capital city. Vayelech David Holoch v'Godol. David HaMelech went and he was becoming greater. The Me'am Lois points out it was a gradual process. It's hard for us to imagine. But whatever Madriga David HaMelech was on before, he kept on growing by progression of Madriga achar Madriga. Holoch, he was like traveling. V'gadol and becoming greater and greater. V'Hashem Elokei Tzevaakos Imo, and Hashem was with him. And the truth is, we learned before when he was served under Shaul HaMelech, it says V'Hashem Imo, Hashem was with him. But here it's Hashem Elokei Tzevaakos Imo. The word Hashem is midas hachesed, or rachamim, and Elohim is midas hadin, meaning David's relationship with Hashem, both when Hashem shows his compassion and when Hashem shows his strict justice, David HaMelech was successful in both. He had that relationship, he had that closeness to Hashem, that even when there was suffering that David had to go through, even when it was Elohim, when it was Elokei Tzevaakos, but Hashem was with him through it all. Hashem Elokei Tzevaakos Imo. Vayishlach Hiram Melech Tzor. Hiram, the king of Tzor, sent Malachim, messengers, al David to David. Va'atzei Arozim, with cedar wood, v'charoshei Eitz, and carpenters, people who know how to work with the wood, v'charoshei Evan Kir, masons, people who know how to work with the stone, to cut it, to shape it, to build with it. Vayivnu vayis leDavid, and they built a palace for David. Here you have a nation we haven't had too much to do with the people of Tzor, and all of a sudden David gets a messengers and supplies and craftsmen. They want to build David HaMelech a palace. In Divrei HaYomim, when it talks about this incident, it mentions how the truth is before this happened, David already moved the Aron from one place to another. We'll see eventually the Aron is going to be brought to Yerushalayim. But over here, it seems the Novi just wants to sort of finish the thought about how Yerushalayim was being built up by David. So it puts the orders is the correct. Why the actual sequence of events was as it says in Divrei Hayamim, that first he brought the Aron, he transported it from one place to another, not yet to Yerushalayim, but he brought it closer. But here we're just completing that David captured the city, and the king of Tzor sent messengers to build up a palace for David. Now, it could have just said, Vayishlach Hiram Melech Tzor, the supplies and the craftsmen. What is the Malachim for? What are the messengers for? It's like messengers and wood and craftsmen and masons. So, Tzor was a city. It's what's nowadays a Tyre. It's in north of Eretz Yisrael, like what's now Lebanon. Tzor, the city of Tzor, was a tremendous, at that point, a seafaring and a merchant center. They were involved in commerce with many different places in the world, and they were a powerful nation because of all of their business dealings. They were sea goers. And it's discussed elsewhere in Novi about Tzor and about their success in business. It's also pointed out how they were haughty. Sometimes they were jealous of the success of Yerushalayim and of Eretz Yisrael. It could be he's sending malachim, he's sending messengers to David. He realizes David is successful. This is now an opportunity to maybe open up business with David. Maybe this could be a new trading center. So he sends messengers to David, and there's supplies, and Vayivnu buys to David, and they built a palace for David. And he has to send the workers also. It says in Malachim Aleph, Perek Hey, it said over there, Ki ein banu ish yodea lichros eitzim kitzidonim. We have nobody who knows how to cut wood like the tzidonim. As you show somebody a tree and you ask him, you know, cut the wood that we can make some fine furniture from it, not everybody knows how to work with the wood. But the tzidonim were experts in this. Vayeda David, and David knew, Ki achino Hashem lemelech al Yisrael. Hashem had prepared him, established him to be the king over Klal Yisrael. V'chinisei mamlachto, and that his monarchy was elevated b'avur Amo Yisrael because of Klal Yisrael. The very fact that David saw he was so successful, and the fact that everyone came and they made him the king, and he was able to conquer Yerushalayim. And now you have the king of Tzor on his own sends messengers to build David a palace. David realizes that this is a message from Hashem, that his throne is to be elevated, that he is going to reach the pinnacle of leadership over Klal Yisrael. And he realizes it's Bavur Amo Yisrael, that the whole purpose of this is just to help out Klal Yisrael. Chazal say, Rabbonus Mekaberes Es Bo'aleho. A guy who's a leader very often dies young. But that's only if a person figures his leadership is due to him. If a person uses it and his whole thoughts is just to help out Klal Yisrael, David was the king for 40 years. He can be Leman Yarech V'yamim Al Mamlachto. He can have a very long Malchus. And David realized that this is all Bavur Am Yisrael. It's all because of Klal Yisrael. I guess time for a quick Maisa. Don't usually do it, but I heard a Maisa recently. There was a Maisa with a Beis Aron, the Karlina Rebbe. Anyways, whatever, one day it was a freezing winter, and it looked like they wouldn't be able to put up a sukkah. The winter starts early over there in Russia. And it looked like they wouldn't be able to sit in the sukkah. It was too cold. But his Gabbai Yeshamas worked it out that they were able to have a heated sukkah. He was able to sit in the sukkah. So he was so grateful that he was able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He said, I'll give you a choice. You can either be together with me in Olam Haba, or you can become a wealthy man in this world. So he responded, I like to be wealthy. So all the Hasidim couldn't believe it. He was a person who recognized whatever the others were able to recognize, the greatness of the Beis Aron. This Shamus, the Gabbai, certainly realized it. How could he decide to give up his share in Olam Haba and then become a wealthy man? So he responded, if I'm together with the Rebbe in Olam Haba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get anything from it, Klal Yisrael doesn't get anything from it, I'll have a very good Olam Haba. But if I become wealthy, I can use all that money to help out all the suffering Yidden. There's so many people who need help that if I was wealthy, I could help them out. I'd like to become wealthy, so I can help others. But the idea of Chinisei Mamlachto Bavur Amo Yisrael, to realize that the purpose why Hashem gave him the greatness is just Bavur Amo Yisrael, in order to help out Klal Yisrael. Ve'ilashmos Vayikach David oid pilakshim. David took more pilakshim, venoshim, and wives, Mirushalayim from Yerushalayim. Achrei bo mechevron, after he came from Chevron. He already had six wives. Now that he came from Chevron to Yerushalayim, he took additional pilakshim, and he took other wives. Vayivoldu od leDavid bonim uvanos, and David had more sons and daughters. Pilakshim is an interesting discussion. There's different opinions exactly what a pilegesh is, and there are questions exactly who's allowed to take a pilegesh. It's actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer, Simin Chavav. It discusses the laws of a pilegesh. Pilegesh, simple, some learn, was had kiddushin, or she was a wife. But normally, a wife has to have a ksuva. I mean, a husband obligates himself. It's not enough that they're married. The marriage goes on with a commitment from the husband that he writes a ksuva, that he's legally bound with the obligations of a husband. And if the marriage is terminated, let's say he dies, or if there's a divorce, he's obligated a sum of money to guarantee that the widow or his wife is taken care of. There has to be a ksuva. A pilegesh didn't have that. Could be she didn't have a ksuva. Some learned it was not even kiddushin. It was just like designated for him, but it wasn't an official marriage even. It was secondary. And there are opinions that only a king, the Rambam says only a king was allowed to have a pilegesh. A regular person wasn't allowed to. It was too loose. It was like zinus. For a regular person, it had to be a proper marriage. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. But for David HaMelech, now that Hashem had shown that he was the king, and there could be different reasons what David had behind taking additional pilagshim and wives. Could be other reasons we'll see later on, in later weeks. But just to mention two possible ideas at this point. A king is allowed to marry up to 18 wives. It says, David HaMelech was told later on, if the six weren't enough, I'll give you kohena, v'chohena, like that amount again and again, meaning you could have three times that amount of six. You could have up to 18 wives. First of all, if David would not have that full amount, it doesn't show that he's doing the Ratzon Hashem. And by David, every move and everything he did was the Ratzon Hashem. And to show that he's the king, he took the full amount what a king was allowed, no more, no less. And it could be, It's even a greatness of the monarchy. You know, if somebody wants to show the Torah, it could be that that's the whole head to why a king is allowed to have so many wives. It's not the normal, and it's not the type of, it's not the usual situation, certainly not. A person normally had one wife, and that's it. Sometimes you have a chazal if he didn't have any children, so he had a second wife. The idea that the king would do it to show the greatness of the monarchy, besides the fact that he'd be able to take care of his wives. If a person has to be obligated, he can take care of them. A king would be able to support such a household. So that could be one reason. Another reason is, we'll see, David had his mind, which son is going to be the one to be fit to be the king over Klal Yisrael. And there were wives that he took that he didn't intend her as a queen. But sometimes the mother might not be fit to be the queen, but her child certainly is fit to be king. And he took certain pilakshim, and it could be he figured he would see which one of the children would be the one who would have, there's so many qualities that are necessary to be a king and a successful king and to be the one to lead Klal Yisrael. So he took certain wives, not as the queen, and it was realized a pilegesh. If her son would be fit to be king, she would be elevated to be queen. But right now it was set up as a pilegesh. And of course, the very fact that it's a king, even though it's not a regular marriage, it's not with the Kiddushin and with the Ksuva, but if it's taken by the king, she is forbidden to anyone else. And therefore it doesn't lead to a looseness in society, and it's so Vayikach David owed Pilakshim and Oshim Yerushalayim. He took other Pilakshim and wives from Yerushalayim. Achrei Bo Mechevron after came from Chevron. Vayivoldo owed the David Banu Muvanos, and he had additional sons and daughters. And we're going to mention the sons. Ve'ela Shmos Hayilodin Lo Yerushalayim. These are the names of those who were born to him in Yerushalayim. Shamua Veshova V'Nosan Ushlomo. These four sons had the mother Bathsheba. The oldest one was Shlomo. And we're going to learn the story later on, more details of exactly what happens with Bathsheba later. But right now we're just quickly running through who the names are. And the Navi, it's interesting, he doesn't even list Shlomo HaMelech first. But V'yivchor V'elishua V'nefeg V'yofia V'elishoma V'elyoda V'elifolet. And of course the Mephoshim compare the list of names here and the list of names in Divrei HaYomim. Some people are called by two different names. Some names seem to be missing. Could be there were children who didn't live. So in Divrei HaYomim, when it talks about the greatness of the monarchy, it lists every child. And here it only mentions those that live to, you know, to adulthood. But these were children that David had as king over all of Eretz Yisrael. Vayishmu plishtim, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the plishtim heard ki moshchu es David l'melech al Yisrael, that they anointed David as king over Klal Yisrael. Till now, there was even a time David had been hiding among the plishtim because he was fleeing from Shaul. So the plishtim figured David was on their side and David wouldn't be a threat. But now that David was the king over all of Klal Yisrael, they were afraid that David might come to attack them, and therefore they're going to make a preemptive move. Vayalu kol plishtim levakish es David. So all the plishtim went up to seek David. They're looking for him to attack, to capture him, to kill him. It could be they also had in mind the fact that David captured Yerushalayim. As we learned, the Yevusi who lived there came from the plishtim. That's why they put up those Ivrim in the Pischim, those idols, to remind of the treaty that Avram made with Avimelech, the king of the plishtim. So the plishtim felt David had sort of attacked them by capturing Yerushalayim. So they went up seeking David. Vayishma David, David heard Vayered El HaMetzuda, and he went down to the fortress. Some learn it was the fortress that he had captured, the Metzudas Tzion. But that was a little bit lower than the rest of the city. Some learn it was a fortress that was mentioned much earlier when David was fleeing from Shaul. There was a place that he went to that was a fortress in the desert that was near the plishtim. But in any case, if it was that place, the plishtim sort of avoided him. Uplishtim bo, the plishtim came by Nachshuv Emek Rufoim, and they spread out in the valley of Rufoim, which is outside Yerushalayim. So if he was in the fortress near Yerushalayim, so they're right in front of him. If he went out to the desert near the plishti territory, they avoided him and they came to Yerushalayim. Vayishal David b'Hashem leimor. David asked a question from Hashem, saying, Ha'elel plishtim, should I go up to the plishtim? Hasitnim b'yodi, are you going to give them over into my hands? Vayomer Hashem al David alei. Hashem said to David, go up to the plishtim, ki noson etein. Give, I will give. Es ha'plishtim b'yodecha, I'll certainly give the plishtim into your hand. Whatever happens with the nations down here, every nation is has an angel in Shemayim, in heavens, that's their guardian angel, that protects the nation. For David to defeat the plishtim down here, noson etein, give, I will give. In Shemayim, the guardian angel of these plishtim will be defeated, and then down here in this world, David will be able to defeat the plishtim. Vayavo David v'val protzim. David came to this place, Baal Protzim, Vayakem Shom David, and David struck them. And the reason the place was called Baal Perotzim was because Vayomer, David said, Paras Hashem es oivai. Hashem made a breach. He like made a hole right through the enemy forces. Lefonai, he broke through the enemy, Keferetz Moyim, like water that breaks through a wall. Sometimes you have a dam or something's holding back the water and the water level starts to rise and all of a sudden the levee can't hold it. And all of a sudden the water breaks through and the thousands and hundreds of thousands of gallons of water come pouring through. Like the force of water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a hole right through the enemy forces. Or it can mean the enemy forces that were as strong and determined like a Peretz Hamayim, Hashem stopped them. Therefore, the name of that place was called Baal Protzen. The Targum seems to learn if you have jugs full of water and you smash it, the water spreads all over. Right? The spilled water spreads out. Hashem defeated my enemies Keferet Moyim like water that spread out all over the land because they had spread out in the Amek Rephaim. They spread out like water that spills from a broken barrel. They spread out and Hashem defeated them. So the name of that place became Baal Protzen. They abandoned their idols. This is the same Plishtim when they killed Shaul and his sons in the battle. They cut off the head and they brought it to their idol. And the word over there is Levaser Beisatzabehem. They wanted to spread the word among their idols that you see what a victory their idols brought about. And of course now the idol was so worthless they didn't even bother carrying it with them. They just left. They just abandoned their idols. And David and his men, the Targum learns, Rashi brings it down, they burned them. It was Avodah Zarah, so they destroyed it. Those idols were destroyed. Chazal say in the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Dalet, Vayisoy means they actually carried it and took it with them. Now you could learn that Vayisoy, and as Vayisoy can have two meanings. That word can mean to burn, and Vayisoy can mean to carry. You could learn that maybe they picked it up to carry back to Yerushalayim and then make a public spectacle of burning it. Others learn that the Gemara explains if a goy has an idol, the goy can renounce it as having any power. And if the goy treats it in a disrespectful manner, and the goy himself says, you know, I made this an idol, and now it's no longer an idol, it has no power, it's worthless. If the goy goes ahead and the goy makes the idol meaningless, then it's no longer an avodah zarah, and you can use it. Of course, if the idol's made out of gold, you certainly would hope that the goy would renounce it. The Gemara has a story. Somebody did that. You know, he waited and he found a little goy. It was a cotton and he beat him up. He got the goy, like forced him to, you know, to renounce Avodah Zarah. But it could be what happened over here was, Vayisayim David Vanoshov, David was going to burn those idols. And then there was one of the Plishtim, who we'll later get to learn about, Itai Hagiti was his name. And he came and he joined David's forces. And he came right in time before the idols were totally destroyed. And he renounced it. He was one of the Plishtim. And he renounced it that these are not idols and they have no power and no holiness. And then, by Yisoyim David Vanoshev, David and his men were allowed to carry off the idol and take it with them. And we'll see the last few psukim about the next battle with the Plishtim. We'll see that next week in Mirtz Hashem. Thank you. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024.